So as I've been thinking about the subject of time and eternity, it can bring a fear on us of something that is unknown to us, it's out ahead, and it's something that's permanent. And yet what I'm interested in this afternoon is to be able to see God's heart in it all. I want to start over in Deuteronomy 30 and 19. This is God's desire for us. It said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. And then here's the heart of God. We get a choice to make, but he says, choose life so that both thou and thy seed may live. May be able to live not just in this life, a good, happy life, but in the life to come. So I look back at the examples that we read about this morning in Luke 12, where it was talking about the man that he was just a good farmer and he had a prophet come in. We all would do it that way. But you know what? I think I kind of see the heart of God a little bit, even in those examples that are given to us, of here's something to have as a caution in my life. Because when I read that story, no, it doesn't really say that there was anything wrong that happened. Until he said to his soul, take your ease. You got much goods laid up for many years. You know what? I take that as a warning for myself. I don't want God to call me a fool because of choices that I made toward the end of my life that I'm now just looking out for myself. Because that verse ends up saying, so is everyone that lays up treasure for himself. It doesn't say that's all the wrong and is not rich toward God. So what I take from that is God loves me enough to give me a little warning even there, saying, Dan, the most important thing for you is make sure you're laying up some treasures in heaven. And even in the next one, when it warned about the rich man in hell, what is the lesson from that? It's a pretty simple one for me. And it was, only thing it was saying in there, it didn't say that he stole from somebody to get his wealth, or he did it in any wrong manner. But it said he just had an opportunity. There was somebody at his gate that he could have helped. You know, it didn't say that he was responsible for somebody on the other side of the city that he could have found. It was just somebody that was real close by that he could have helped. Well, I look at that and I say, you know what? With eternity out ahead for me, that's a little warning for me also. I'm not responsible for people on the other side of the world of being able to do something maybe so much. But somebody that just comes in my life, I would like to be able to be living in a place that I'm not consumed with my own care and taking care of myself, but that I would be able to notice, hey, Lord, here's a little window that you have opened up for me. You know, sometimes those don't have to be real big things either. They're simple little things that we can do to lighten somebody else's load. So I take those as I'm looking at time, my time ending, and me going out into eternity, and these little bitty spots that God says, this is what I'm watching for in some areas. But I want to think about something else. So those looks like good works would have caused them to make heaven their home. Is that all it takes? Over in Ephesians, the second chapter, there's something that we always want to remember. What is it that causes me to be saved? Ephesians 2 and 8. By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. You know, salvation is a gift. I won't be able to help people at my doorstep enough that I'll make heaven my home just because of that. No, salvation is a gift of God. And it's not of works, lest any man should boast. So if I go out and I do better in these two areas than these men have done, works won't save me. But I like this next verse in the 10th verse. Many times we don't go to that verse. It's not of works lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So I look at the heart of God. Salvation comes through Jesus Christ. It's a gift. But good works are a result of what's happened in my heart. I thought about over in Acts 9 and 36. It tells us about a woman named Dorcas. And it only gives us about three verses that tell about her life. But what it does say is in 9 and 36, just a little snapshot of her life, she was full of good works. And I don't think she was doing it. You know, there are scriptures that talk about the Pharisees. They do this to be seen of men. They do good things, but we want to make sure somebody is watching. I don't believe she was that way. Because if you read in that just a little bit after that, she dies. And then the widows come and they show all the things that she has done for them. And you know, I think she did it quietly, just went about doing good works. And so I'm thinking of God's heart for us. I believe he just showed me on these, Dan, don't live only to yourself. Be on the lookout what you can do to be a help to somebody else. But also, I see another place. You remember when 2 Peter 3 tells us the end of all things is coming? You know, we get to see the heart of God. It says scoffers are going to say, why hasn't it happened? It hadn't happened in all this time. But it tells us in 2 Peter 3 and 9 why it has not happened. It said, he's not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. So his desire is that nobody would go out into eternity lost. And I'm thankful for that. I thought of another example. When Peter had a plan where he told the Lord, I'll never deny you. I'll be willing to die for you. And then when the pressure came on, Peter denied Christ. He even cursed and said he didn't know him. And we get to see the heart of God. You know what? Jesus wasn't willing for him to be lost. He wanted to give him another opportunity to be able to be saved. So what does it say whenever Peter cursed and denied Christ? It just has one little picture there for me. It says Jesus turned and he looked at Peter. Wonder what was in that look. We get to see what was in that look. Because what it caused him to do, you know, I don't think that look said, I told you, I knew you was going to do it anyhow. I think that look let him know, Peter, I still love you. Remember, he had already said, I prayed for you, that when you're converted, you strengthen the brethren. But I see where Peter went out, and he wept bitterly from what that was. And so I'm looking for myself, and I say, you know what? The Lord has a desire for me to be able to make heaven my home, to be able to dwell with him for eternity. And one of our most simple verses tell us that. And it's John 3:16. For God so loved the world, we're dealing with leaving time and heading out into eternity. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I am thankful that he had a plan made to where I can have everlasting life, be able to have eternal life. Remember when the rich young man came running to Jesus? He had something. He was obeying all of the rules. He was obeying all the commandments. But he said, what good thing can I do? I want to inherit eternal life. I want to be able to have it myself. And you know what? I do too. I have a desire for it. And I am thankful that this afternoon we can take a look at a few verses. And it says God has that same desire for us to be able to have eternal life. I'm looking at a verse over in 1 Timothy 6, 1 Timothy 6 and 12. It says, fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold on eternal life. When is that done? Is that done whenever I breathe my last breath? I'm soon to be buried. I've laid hold on eternal life. I'd like to think of that as way back there when I made my decision to follow Christ. I took a hold on the direction that it would take me. There was reading about Christian in Pilgrim's Progress. When he saw that he was living in the city of destruction and he made a choice, I'm going to run from this. Remember what he said as he was fleeing that city? He said he put his fingers in his ears and he said, life, life, eternal life. And he headed toward that direction. You know, did he throughout his life have all successes? He had no failures. He had some failures, but when he got up, he was still headed toward the celestial city. I think it's important for us in our life, that it's always my purpose. I'm going to make heaven my home. Whatever it takes, if I have to humble myself, if I have to redo something, whatever it takes, I want to have eternal life. Paul laid hold on eternal life. When he got saved after having been all the other way, on his way to Damascus to put some of them to death, and the Lord came along with a visit for him. And I look at the changes that happened in Paul throughout his life. In Acts, the 20th chapter, he talks about, I know that there's bonds and afflictions that are waiting for me. But he said, none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear to myself. I want to finish my course with joy. Now that's something. With all the things that he had happening in his life, how could he finish his course with joy? Because he sees what was set out there before him, if he would be faithful. Remember in Romans 8 and 35, he had this question, who's going to separate us from the love of Christ? And he named off several things that could do it, several things that could cause us to say, I've had enough now. But then he goes on down and he says, I am persuaded that neither this one, nor this one, nor this one, none of these things would be able to separate us. I am glad for that. I think one thing that helped him also was that he had a vision out ahead. He had a vision of what paradise was going to be like. And I think it's going to be good for us to have it always before us. What's heaven going to be like? I was just talking to Sister Wright this afternoon, and there's so much you could just read in the news of all, there's so many scams that are available to get your money. There'll be none of that in heaven. There will be no pain in heaven. You won't have to be watching out, watch your back. This one might be out to get me. It's all over then. And I think it's going to be good as we see all the wickedness around us that we say, I tell you what, heaven's going to be worth it all. Got to make it. Because now, as we looked at it this morning, it's not going to be like life. It's not going to be measured in, okay, 3 years has gone by. It will be forever. Scriptures talk about forever with the Lord. I want that in my life. It's going to come through choices that I make. I think about Sister Maxine. You know what? I believe she took a hold on eternal life way back there. I'm going to make heaven my home. Yes, this problem has come to me, but she was faithful through that one. Here comes another one. None of these things moved her either. I'm thankful for the example she left us. Also, I think of Sister Vicky. I believe her eyes were on the prize. Here's what it'll be if I will be faithful. I believe the same thing was for Cheryl. I believe the same thing can be for us, each one. I don't think we need to fear eternity. Let's just make daily choices that head us in that direction. Hebrews, in the 11th chapter, Hebrews 11 and 13. Toward the end of that, it says, they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. He hath prepared for them a city. I don't think we have to look at that as being something way back there with Abraham. I think that can also be us going through this life day by day. You know what? Tomorrow, I'll still go back to my job again. And I'm doing it to be able to get a paycheck because I use that money to buy things. And yet, I want to be confessing that I'm a stranger and a pilgrim on this earth, holding these temporal things loosely. That should they be with me or should they leave me, I'm headed for another country. This one also says, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. You know, there are people that started out faithful for the Lord, and something came along that they lost the vision of that country that they were headed for, and something deterred them. I was reading with Pilgrim's Progress. On the way to the celestial city, they had to go through another city. showing all of the sights and the sounds of that city. And yet they were able to realize, you know what, we're having to go through this Vanity Fair, but this is not where we're going to stay. Our goal is we're moving on through this to the celestial city. There was something else that I noticed with that. When Christian and Pilgrim's Progress, when he would have a place where he failed, he would always come out of that failure on the celestial city side, not turning around, not going back. You remember the place where he's going along and he hear these two men come running to him and say, you better turn around. There's lions in the path up there. And he's so scared, but he says, to go to the celestial city, I've got to go that way. And he goes by and he finds that they're chained. You know, there's going to be so many things. What's the song? Shall that which intervenes deprive me of my right? Nay, on I'll go until I reach that city of delight. I mean to go right on. And I want to be able to have that in my life. I want to be able to see the things that he has prepared for me. Take a look over in John. John, the 14th chapter. Look at this picture. In a world of trouble all around us, and when we just hear this request of Brother Wright's about his nephew and whatever happened that caused him to lose his money, this one says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place. What if he said, I go to prepare a place for somebody else? No, he has prepared a place for each one of us that we can make heaven our home. It says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You know, I see in that a desire he has for us to be able to make it, and I'm glad for that. It's just that in the choices that I have to make each day, that I will head in that direction too. That song 223, I mean to go right on. Not just this year and maybe next year. I mean to go right on until the crown is won. I mean to fight the fight of faith till life on earth is done. That's whatever it takes between here and there. You remember the things that happened to Paul? He had, it seemed like he would just get past one problem when another one would hit him. Remember where Paul said, I've got a heart's desire, and that is that Israel would be saved. I would be so happy if Israel would be saved. You know who his worst enemies were? Was Jews that were against him teaching Christ. He had a place where 40 men banded together, and they said, we will not eat or drink again until he's dead. You know, Paul had feelings just like everybody else does. All of us would really rather be liked than disliked. But he had all that to face. And yet he said, none of these things move me. He would go into one city. A man would be healed. And the people in that city would say, these are some gods come down, so we're going to worship them. They're going to bring out some oxen and offer sacrifice to them. You know what? In the same chapter, some Jews come along, change their minds, and they have now stoned Paul from being popular to unpopular, stoning him. And what has he said? I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. God is the one that is allowing that in his life. And I want to be able to have it in my life also. If you then be risen with Christ, Colossians 3:1, because what did it say at the end of the one where the man was had the crops and he was called a fool? When God said, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Here is a place where we can become rich toward God. 3:1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. I want to be doing that more in my life. 2025, I want to seek more those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. How do we balance that? How do we balance temporal things that we have to face every day and our affections not be set on it? I love the example that Job left us. He was said he was one of the wealthiest men of the East. He had it all. And yet in one day, he lost it all. And we can soon find out if his heart was set on it or not. And I have had to ask the Lord, Lord, would you help me? Could I do the same thing as he did, as Job did? When his temporal possessions left him, he did not look at the people that stole it. He said, the Lord gave it, and the Lord hath taken it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. His heart was not set on the temporal things that he had. And I'm asking the Lord, Lord, help me. I want to be able to be faithful to the Lord. I want to handle these temporal things to where they do not be a distraction for me making heaven my home. So we read those places where it looks like it would have been better for the rich man if he would have looked out for Lazarus. And I want to move to a place in Matthew 25. Because this is not going to be the only thing that saves me. But I notice how the Lord looks at it. Matthew 25 and 34. Then shall the king say to them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Well, wouldn't it be good when I breathe my last breath to hear that word being said? Come on in. Got something that was prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And then he goes into these things. I was hungry, you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. Naked, you clothed me. Sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then shall the righteous say, when did we see you in all these conditions? And he says to them in the 40th verse, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it to one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Works will not save me in the end, but works will be a result of the blood of Christ being applied to my life. I want to be able to have that. Also, 1 Thessalonians 4, it tells us we don't sorrow like those that have no hope. Those that have no hope, it was all in this life, and now it's gone. But it says, here's what's going to happen, and I know it's talking about the end of time, of it being how it's going to be when the Lord comes back again. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with him in the air. And then that 4 and 18 is a little reminder to me. Comfort one another with these words. Is it a comfort to me to think about heaven, this life being over, and I go out to meet the Lord with heaven? And I don't think it means, okay, I cannot enjoy any of the things here. But I just want us to be able to be reminded, if I'll be faithful to the Lord, there is something great prepared for me. It was intended for everyone. Said he was not willing that any would perish, but that everyone would come to repentance. Heaven was intended at the end for eternity for everyone. It's a choice that we make. The devil is out to cause us to miss it ourselves. But I am thankful that the Lord's vision for us is that we would be able to make heaven our home. There is a verse of a song on that 223. You know, when he started out, and then even in that second verse, when should opposition come, should foes obstruct my way? What about if trouble comes to me? I'm glad that Paul's story did not end when trouble came his way, and then he decided, I'm through. God has not dealt fairly with me, and I'm through. But instead, he was willing to go through it. Now look at this one, the third verse. I see a shining crown. You know, Paul was able at the end of it all, somebody must have let him know, your time is almost over. And what did he say? I have fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown, and it's not for me only, but for everybody that loves his appearing. I want to be able to live my life to where I'm looking forward to the day that I go to meet him, and I want to meet him in peace. This last verse, then forward let us go, our hearts with love aflame. our snowy banner borne aloft, inscribed with Jesus' name. The host of evil flee, and heaven's open gates invite me now to hasten where eternal glory waits. That's what the Lord has available for each one of us. However long our life may be, whatever things come our way in it, help me to remember, Lord, I'm just passing through this one. You know, really, whether I'm a Christian or whether I've set my heart on the temporal things, I'm still passing through here. It's going to be over. I'm going to be gone one day. Should it be 80 years here, and I live it to the fullest. But if I leave God out of it, what will it be? What does it say? What would it profit a man if he would gain the whole world and lose his own soul? This part of my existence is the shortest part there is. I want to use this part of my existence to prepare for the other side. To be able to do that, I need the Lord to help me every day. In the prayer requests that we bring to the Lord, Lord, would you guide me in these steps? Realizing that, you know, really what he's doing is the choices that I'm making. He's trying to guide me in a way that I can have eternal life. I'm thankful for it. I desire your prayers.